So we're just going to launch and see where this thing goes. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, verse number 15. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I was praying this afternoon for this service, and this is what I felt the Lord wanted me to preach tonight. How to have a move of God. How to have, because God wants to move tonight. But there's some contingencies. There's some things that have to be in place before God moves. And if we'll open our heart tonight to the word of the Lord, before we leave, God's going to show up in this place and minister to somebody's heart. Lift your hands toward heaven right now, Father. Prepare our hearts and our mind. Over these next few moments, I don't want it just to be words that fall upon deaf ears. But I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say and do in this place. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, we worship you and thank you for it. Can we give God praise and clap our hands one more time? Amen. Lord bless you as you're seated tonight. How to have a move of God. I just want to begin tonight by reminding you that it is of utmost importance that we not only have a move of God, but that we as a people never become satisfied and stagnant with where we are. It is a trick of the enemy, and it's a desire of the enemy to get people comfortable with where they are at in their walk and their relationship with God. How many's been living for the Lord more than 5 years? More than 20 years? More than 30 years? And above. There's a lot of people in here. I don't want to give anybody's age out, but there's people been living for the Lord a long time in this place. And if I were to venture, I would say that you've been in some memorable services where heaven kissed earth and you were caught in the midst of the smack. Life-changing moments that totally revolutionized your life. And you left that service never to be the same again. Those moments have happened. If you've been living for the Lord any length of time, and your mind is running right now, and my mind's running, I could think of some services where I didn't want to get my head off the carpet because I felt like the Lord himself was walking in that place. And I didn't want to disrupt the presence of the Lord. But as good as those services were, they were never designed for you to just live off of them 10 years and 20 years and 30 years and just try to glean from yesteryear's experience with God. God is all about continual progress. We should not rest on our laurels from yesteryear. We should not rest on sermons that once changed our life, because your life continually evolves. You go through seasons. You go through ups and downs. And that word that spoke to you 2 years ago may not fit the season that you're in right now. So you need a fresh word. And you need a fresh experience. When God provided manna for Israel, there was one contingency. You got to go out every day and you got to get it for yourself. The only exclusion or exception was on the day before the Sabbath. He said you'll get enough to last you through the end of the Sabbath until the following day. But other than that, you had to go out every day and get it. Could God have provided manna that didn't expire? Absolutely. How about a loaf of bread that never went stale? That's a dream right there. I want it so soft it sticks to the roof of your mouth, and you gotta, y'all know what I'm talking about. Get that glob out of that, oh, the top of your mouth. That fresh bunny bread, that thin, don't bring me no other kind of bread. God can do it. And God made bunny bread. But there was a reason. There was a reason God said you got to get up every day. It's because if God's going to do his part, he wants to make sure people's going to do their part. He would have created a lazy bunch of people if he'd have said, I tell you what, once a week I'll just give you enough to last. Go get you enough to last all week. That once a month. They'd have stayed in that house and feasted. They'd have grown lazy, wanting God to do everything and them not do anything. Now, don't you know? Because I know people, and you know people. In spite of all that Moses told them, you know there was people that tried to go get 2 and 3 days worth. Get up the next day and it's got worms everywhere and it's spoiled and you can't eat it. Because people's always going to try to do it their way. They're always going to push against the envelope, thinking that they know, in spite of clear direction from the man of God, this is what God said he'll do, but here's what we have to do. God wanted them continually depending upon him, continually moving. God is not a monument. God is a movement. He said, I'm going to lead you out of Egyptian bondage. I'm going to give you a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And here's the contingency. You got to be willing to follow. You got to be willing to move. You can't get comfortable with where I brought you, because I've always got something better for you. Listen to me, church. I don't care how good your past experience has been in God. God's got something better for you. God's got something waiting for you. But he is wanting you to continually move. We need a move of God every time we come to church. We need a move of God in the prayer rooms. We need a move of God in our homes. We need a move of God in a song service. We need a move of God in the preaching. There's never a time that you're going to wake up and you don't need God to move. There's never a time you're going to come to church and you don't need God to move. We need God to move every single day. If God stops moving, we start dying. We need a move. Touch your neighbor and say, you need a move of God. You need a move of God. We need a fresh touch. We need a fresh visitation. I want it to be like the first time I got the Holy Ghost. I want that fire to be so strong and so raging that I can't help myself, and that it jumps off onto somebody else and they start worshiping because they feel something. When's the last time you said, God sent me ablaze with a fresh touch of anointing, with a fresh touch of fire? Come on, clap your hands. How do we have a move of God? Let me tell you how.
There's some elements that have to be in place to have a move of God. First, you've got to become dissatisfied with where you're at and desire new territory. The reason some people don't have a move of God is because they're comfortable with where they're at. I'm telling you, I've seen people, well, I've been living for the Lord X amount of years. It's time for the young people to take up where I left off. That's ignorant. Touch your neighbor and say, that's ignorant. Where in the Bible does it say that you reach a place that you can take off? That you can say, well, now listen to me. I realize that the older you get, the more limitations are placed upon your physical body. So I'm not saying, I realize that you may not be able to run like you once ran, or jump like you once jumped, or do whatever you used to. I'm not saying that. I realize that there are physical limitations. But there still ought to be something on the inside that says, whatever I can do, I'm going to do it to have a move of God. On the inside. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. It's about having an attitude that says, I don't care how good my past has been. There's still places in God I've never been before. There's still territories in God I've never been before. There's still experiences in God that I've never had before. It is a trick of the enemy to get you to become comfortable with where you are at. Somewhere along the way, you got to get dissatisfied with where you're at and say, I've been here too long. I've rested here too long. I got to stir up something on the inside. Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. You ought not become comfortable with where you're at. You ought not become comfortable with where God has brought you from. But there ought to be a desire inside of you that says, I want more of this than I've ever had before. I want to go somewhere in God that I've never been before. Come on, if that's you, clap your hands right now. I believe I've told this story here before. There was a woman that visited a church. Very first time to be in an apostolic church. She sat on the front row. And the whole service she cried. All through the song service she cried. Through the offering she cried. Through the preaching she cried. After service, Pastor Winton wanted to shake her hand and wanted to meet her, introduce himself. And he began to talk to her. And she said, something's wrong with me. She said, I hadn't stopped crying. From the moment my car touched the parking lot, all I can do is shake and cry. She said, I cried all the song service. I've cried in the offering. I've cried during the preaching. And here I am, I'm talking to you, and I can't stop crying, and I can't stop shaking. Trying to comfort her. He said, ma'am, that's quite all right. He said, that's just the presence of God and the power of God that you're feeling. This is what she said. She said, if this is the presence of the power of God, then why am I the only one crying and shaking? Could it be that she was surrounded by people that once wept and once shook under the power and the presence of God that they felt? But somewhere along the way, it became common to them, and it became comfortable to them, and it no longer moved them like it once did. Hey friend, we all need to be stirred tonight. We all need to be shaken tonight to the point that we're crying and we're shaking under the power. Hey, ko, hey, sha. Pando, eka, hilo riande bohoko, himama ando etande, yondo riande, biondo riake. Set us ablaze with fresh fire. Set us ablaze with fresh fire. Touch your neighbor and say, you need fresh fire. You got to get dissatisfied with where you're at and say, there's new territory. Israel was going to new territory. God was bringing him to a place he had prepared, a promised land. Secondly, how to have a move of God? You got to have a willingness to obey. Here's where we mess up. How many times has God prompted you to do something in a service? How many times have you felt that nudge of the Spirit? You need to get out. I'm talking about dead service. We've been in some of them. You've been living for God any length of time. Everybody doing Mount Rushmore imitations. Dead. And the Holy Ghost nudge you. Run around the church. Now, Lord, the air's not even moving in here. If I move, I'm going to look really weird. Now, isn't it something that we think like that and we're apostolics and trying to make it to the same place? Yet we still struggle with that. And the Holy Ghost bump you again. You need to get out and move. And then we'll start trying to deal, negotiate. Now, Lord, if this is you, I want them to sing the Great Speckled Bird, which we ain't sang in 100 years. And so when they don't sing it, you go, I must have not been the Lord. I'm not going to do it. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth here. I know what it's like to feel that. Yeah, I know it's God. When you start trying to fight it really hard, that's God. Because number one, there's only three things it could be. Your flesh, that's not going to tell you to do anything spiritual. Satan, not going to tell you to do anything spiritual. And we eliminated two of the three. So by process of elimination, it has to be God. Right? And yet we'll sit there and we'll fight. Holy Ghost bump you. Go grab somebody. Go pray with so and so. And we'll fight because there's not a willingness to obey. But if we have that a willingness that says it don't matter what God tells me to do, I'm going to do it. When you feel that nudge, if you'll just act on it immediately, you'll see God honor your efforts. But if you start hesitating, you'll talk yourself 9 times out of 10. You'll talk yourself out of being the catalyst that God wants to use in that service. Hey, and I'm talking, it's beginning with me. I can't tell you the services that God, the Holy Ghost prompted me as an evangelist. Do this. Pray for this one. And I'd sit there and go, now, Lord, give every excuse under the sun only to have somebody else go do the exact same thing the Holy Ghost told me to do. Because if you're not willing to do it, God's going to find somebody willing to do it. All God needs is somebody that's willing to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. All God needs is somebody to say, you know what? It's not up to me to understand it. It's not up to me to figure this thing out. I'm here just to obey. Come on, how many times has God said clap? How many times has God said run? How many times has God said go grab somebody? How many times? If you just do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. Listen, the third thing you got to have is a willingness and a readiness to obey. A readiness to move. a readiness to step out there and say, you know what? I don't care. I just want to have a move of God. And listen, can I speak from a pastor's heart? I don't like watching somebody get out by themselves and worship. It ought to be that there's such a mentality of people that says nobody worships by themselves. Nobody steps out. When I see somebody else stepping out, I'm stepping out with them, because I'm not going to let somebody feel like they're doing this all by themselves. I'm not letting them go to an altar by themselves. I'm not letting them get into an aisle by themselves. I'm asking you to have a mentality that says we are doing this together. We are worshiping together. We are having a move of God together. We are going to an altar together. Nobody's going to run by themselves. Nobody's going to go to an altar by themselves. Nobody's going to. It's a mentality that says we are unified in our worship. We are unified in our obedience. We are unified in having a move of God. Listen. They came to that Jordan. They came to that place where God was bringing them to the promised land. They had a word from God. Joshua told them, get that ark. When your feet touch the water, it's going to part, and we're going to go where God wants us to go on dry ground. They got the ark. They had a word. They began to move. Everything still looked the same. Until they took a step. When they took a step and their feet touched the water, that's when God moved. And what we want God to do is we want God to come snatch our hide out of a pew, throw us around like a rag doll, and we can say we had a move of God. Here's how it works. God does not move until you move. God gave him a word, told him what he wanted to do, but he sat there until they did what he asked them to do. And when they touched that water, God said, all right, you've done your part, and you took a step, and now it's my turn to take over this thing. I want you to know, Wallace Ridge, we can beg and plead all day long to have a move of God, but God's not going to do anything until we step out and we start doing it by faith. And when we start running, I wish I had some young people that would run these aisles right now. I wish I had somebody that would step out and say, I'm not doing this by myself. I'm here to... How about it, ladies? Is there any ladies that'll step out and just start walking around saying, I want to have a move of God. I want to have a move of, I need a move of God in this place. I want you to stand right now all over this building and begin to worship him. I want you to make noise in this house. I want you to magnify God in this place. Come on, some of you are one step away from a breakthrough. Some of you are one step away from getting what you need in God. Some of you are one obedience away from having a move of God that would change your life right now. Come on, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. You need to go. You need to go where God's calling you right now. You need to press beyond the level of comfort right now. Come on, musicians. Come on, on, something's got to break in this house right now. And you're going to do it by the Holy Ghost, not by your flesh. If your flesh is telling you don't do it, you probably need to do it right now. If your flesh is telling you don't do that, you'll look stupid. You need to do it right now. Now watch, listen to me. Listen to me, keep praying. I want to show you something. We're not fighting spirits right now, we're fighting our flesh. Because we just did this little deal right here. We did enough to appease our conscience but not change anything. This has to break. This is a flesh thing. It's not a spirit thing. It's a flesh thing. I want you to close your eyes wherever you're at right now. Close your eyes. If you want the Holy Ghost is yours. But you got to get out of that pew and come to an altar. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Your eyes closed. Nobody looking around right now. I want you to begin to think what the Holy Ghost, what does God want me to do right now? It might look foolish. It might be jump up and down. It might be clap. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you do what you feel in the Holy Ghost. But your pride right now has to be put on an altar. Your pride has to be put on an altar. I want them to begin to sing. And I want you just begin to do what you feel the Holy Ghost is wanting you to do. I want you to begin to preach for God with everything you've got. I want you to begin to press harder than you've ever pressed. Young people, I don't want you worrying about what anybody else is doing right now. It's you and God right now. Come on, let's go. Come on, I want you to begin to praise Him. I want you to begin to praise Him. That's it, press right now. Press right now. Press right now.